moments. And I'll never forget it when God was demonstrating to me through someone that was preaching at church, that had come to church. And I'd laid and asked God, see, I believe after you get born again, after you give your heart to Jesus, I believe you need to get before the Lord and, you know, not just one time, but asking the Lord, God, what's my purpose? What's my plan? What's your will for my life, you know? And what's your purpose? So I set out doing that because I found out, I heard a preacher say, he said, you need to find out God's will, you know? And I started realizing, you know, I don't know God's will. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be, I knew, you know, people in my family that were married and different things, but I'll never forget, I laid in my bed one night and I said, God, people are telling me that prosperity is not for us, is not for your people. And I told the Lord, I laid there that night and I said, God, and I'm fine with it. I said, if prospering is not for me, I'm fine with it, God. You know, you saved me. I didn't commit suicide. I was just grateful. I was just grateful that God saved me. I said, but God, if it is really from you and you want your people to be blessed, you want them, and prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is faith, plenty of joy, plenty of peace, plenty of courage, health, sound mind, you know. See, salvation was a package deal. It wasn't just that Jesus died just so we wouldn't go to hell. If you go read Isaiah over there, he bore our sins. Oh man, the chastisement of our peace was on him. Hallelujah. I mean, he bore discouragement. He bore poverty. The Bible says that Jesus became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Well, anyways, wasn't too long after that a man come to church. See, there's defining moments in our life. What that means, it's going to shape your future. God moments in our life after we get born again. I mean, getting born again is look where my son would probably be in prison. Here he is singing for the Lord today. And got my two grandkids in church and around the power of God and the anointing and the praise and the worship and the lifting of the hands and the hearing the gospel. That was a defining moment in my life when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Because once I give my heart to Jesus Christ, I can see the 30-year results today of the choice that I made 30 years ago, 30, 31, whatever it was, you know. That was a God moment. That was a defining moment in my life, because I was set out and I was already buying marijuana by the block. You know, I'd watch TV, and before I got saved, I thought this is the way that I'm going to be wealthy, and I'll pay cash for a house. And I was going set out to be the biggest drug dealer in Blount County, and I was headed that way. I was trying to head that way, you know. But see, that was a defining moment that the enemy was trying to take me down to prison, trying to take me down to death and destruction the wrong way. See, the desires that God has placed in us man, in women, is to do his will. We're all God's creation. Jesus belongs to the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for. Jesus belongs to the world, to everyone. We're God's creation, but everybody's not going to take it. They're going to reject it. And I praise God at 27 years old that I decided that I needed this man Jesus. And he came in my life, and I've tried to walk away and quit church before, and life is just not worth living anymore without him to me. I mean, it's miserable and all that, but that was defining. There's defining moments. The moment that you don't find God. I mean, God shows up and invites you to come in. It is an honor to be able to get born again. No man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. People don't decide anytime they want to go to God. God draws them. Then they give. He gives them opportunity, defining moments. That was the defining moment. That was the defining moment that Teresa got born again in my mother's living room. I come in, and I looked at her, and I said, "What happened to you?" I mean, I could look in her eyes, man, and something's wrong. Something's different. She said, "I give my heart to the Lord today." Well, these people playing volleyball. But anyways, here we're sitting in church. How many knows church is a good place to be? It's a real good place to be, hearing the Word of God. You know, listening to the sermons and all of that. You know, it's a good place to be. Worshiping God, that's part of our service. Forsake not the assembling. And we don't, praise the Lord. Well, I'm sitting there and there's this big deacon in our church. And this little guy, I think his name was Shockey. It was Shockey. He from overseas. Shockey. And he got up and he started preaching, and he had this saying. He said, "God's been good to Shockey." Like that, when he said it, about the second or third time he said it, it hit me in my spirit, and I thought, "God's good to Shockey." You know, it hit me, man. I'm like, "Whoa, glory to God, I felt that." See, that was a defining moment in my life. Did I realize that God was good to Scotty, to allow me to be saved, to bring my wife back to me and my son Travis? He was a year and a half old at that time, and she had left, and I'm going to commit suicide and all that stuff. See, this world and discouragement can take you down to where Satan tempts you through your thoughts. Many people have been there, to commit suicide or committed adultery, or your life gets dull, or kids, "I'm going to be glad when I get old enough to get out of the house. I'm under bondage." No, you're free. God's got you. God has got you. See, but Satan has defining moments he wants to set up in your life to bring destruction in your life. Well, I'm sitting there, you know, after he said that, and then he's preaching Deuteronomy 28, and I've been reading it every day. I've been reading Deuteronomy 28, you know, and all these, "If you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. You'll be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed." That sounded good to me, because I was nowhere and had nothing. So that sounded really good to me. That if God, at this time I'm thinking, if God really does this right here for me, I'm set up for life. Well, he looked over there and he gets it and he says, "Hey, you," he calls him over there, big tall. He said, "Now look," he said, "I'm going to start across here." He said, "And I want you to run on me and jump on me and jump on my back." I thought, oh my God, he's going to kill him. He's a littler guy than me, man. This real skinny and this thick and big. He said, "You sure you want?" He said, "I want you to take me down." And so he's preached that sermon. He started walking. He said, "And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you." And he took him to the ground. I thought, man, whoo, that's the way God's going to do me. That's the way he's going to do. He was preaching what I'd asked God laying in my bed, see. If you'll talk to God and you'll roll your cares over on God and give God your dreams and give God your future and give Him all your hopes, put them in Him, He'll bring the Word and He'll bring revelation to you. It'll be divining moments. It'll be God moments in your life that God will show up and He'll quicken something on the inside of you that'll last you a lifetime. It's eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Now we can make it this natural. You can read it like a dictionary or something like that. But the Bible says that this Word is God breathed. God inspired men of God, holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote down these words, and then God gives life to us through them. Well, you know what? Praise God. 20-something years later, I'm not a broke man. Now, you can get upset for me telling you that or not, but the Bible says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's why the Bible says you have need of patience after that you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. I don't serve Him for money. Money serves me. My car serves me. My stuff serves me. My cows serves me. My business serves me. God gave it. See, your source is God. So, but see, in order for God, I know we don't hear a lot down these lines today, but I'm telling you right now, this Bible don't change. This culture can change. Society can change, and it is. It's more jacked up right now than I've ever seen it. I've never seen our society so messed up, but I can go back to the Bible and not see how messed up they was back there. But you had those that wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow to the music. Daniel wouldn't bow. He wasn't going to pray to no other God. He's not going to go along with another God. He's not going to go along with another prayer. He's not going to go along. Yes, he got thrown in the lion's den, but you know what? God showed up in the lion's den with him. Sent an angel and took care of him. And he come out and Daniel was promoted because he stood for the Word of God. Now, I don't believe Daniel was all arrogant and would chop your head off. I believe he was a meek, laid back. I believe he loved God. I believe he flowed in the love of God. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were humble. I believe they were humble with the Lord. They loved the Lord, but they wasn't going to bow to the music. They was not going to bow. I'm not going to bow down to poverty. You should never bow down to poverty. We've been redeemed from poverty. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, of sin and death. The curse of the law. See, there's a curse operating in this earth that came through Adam, the first Adam. The first Adam, he turned over rights to Satan. But Jesus is the second Adam. And he come and redeemed us back from the curse. See, the right state of this earth is the Garden of Eden. God set it up and God told them, you won't have to toil, just take care of it. Just worship me or whatever. They didn't even know they were naked. I mean, they were so pure in their thoughts. And I mean they were clothed with God's glory. And then Jesus is God's glory in us. But see, there's going to be defining moments. That's why you don't go to work for somebody and stay on your cell phone. I'm not meddling in your business. We're walking with God here. Right? We don't go and stay on our cell phone at work. We work. We give our attention. That's God. We're serving God by doing that. If they say don't vape in school, don't vape in school. Don't disobey authority in school. Don't talk down on your principals, your teachers. Don't get in that wrong spirit. That's the Antichrist spirit. And you know, if your teacher is unruly in school, or your principal, or they're trying to get you things that's going against your convictions, you stand strong and you don't do it and you believe God. But then you pray for them. You pray for them. Your parents don't need to go to school and mow them down. You need to pray them down. Come on, somebody, pray. My son's 6 years old after watching me lay hands on people and to people at church. Went in one day and my mama, she's got a migraine headache, praise God, and walked in. Nobody said, she said, well, I just got a bad migraine headache. Travis, about 6 years old, about like his boy, he just runs over there and he slaps his hand, smack. I heard it bounce off the wall, the sound, on her forehead. And he said, be healed. And yet that migraine left my mama through a six-year-old boy. She said, don't give me that. David was 13, teenager. You know, I mean, he wasn't very old. See, it's not about age. It's about place in God. It's about your union with God. Hallelujah. When I work, when I do garage doors, if I don't feel good, that something, I taught Travis that. If you don't feel good about the job, something ain't right. Just change it till you get it right. Till you feel good on the inside. Why? Because these are defining moments that is making you, that is taking you higher, because promotion comes from God. And God's watching your life. God's watching. God's seeing your desires for Him and your desires to be like Him and your desires, you know, and He's going to set up these God moments and somebody's going to be watching you that's able to promote you. There's always a Boaz. There's always a Boaz somewhere in our life. Hallelujah. you know, that God sets up, and that's why church is so necessary. It's not, it's the will of God. And I mean, you fight to go to church. I mean, you don't fight not to. Get all those things out that would cause you not to want to go serve God by going to the house of God. And you fight for your right to come to the house of God and worship Him. Because they're making laws right now that there's certain parts now that they're putting into law that you can't preach about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. So that means some of us pastors and preachers will likely go to jail. But you know what? I found all through the Bible how the saints prayed. They begin to pray, and an angel of the Lord shows up. See, this Bible is not just a Reader's Digest to me. This Bible is an example to me that these men stood for God. These young teenagers stood for God. Teenagers in the Bible. See, you're never too young to believe God. God can show up and will show up and do miraculous things in your heart mainly, but in your life. I mean, if God wants you to go to college and your parents ain't going to be able to do it and you can't get scholarships, I promise you, if you will trust God, God will cause the money to come for you to go to college. I want you to go to college. Well, I'm making B's and C's in school. Well, stop it. Every one of y'all in here need to make straight A's in school. Straight A's. Nothing but straight A's. I know y'all quiet. I'm a youth pastor too. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll believe God and study, and I mean get focused on your future, praise God, you're not serving that school, you're serving God. Amen. And you get focused on that, and you tell God, I'm going somewhere, God, Bluntville or wherever you are, it's not going to hold me down. Ain't nothing going to hold me back, God, because I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm going to make straight A's in school. You can make straight A's in school. I never did, but I didn't know Jesus. I was a failure before Him. We're not supposed to be failures after Him. That was before Christ and after Christ. And if you're a teenager and you've not submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, you're without God. You're without hope. You can't have faith in Him. The God of this world can influence you more than the Holy Spirit. That's why we see all of this gender stuff going on. I mean, just all the way back in the Bible, this stuff was happening in the Bible too. Sodom and Gomorrah and all that stuff. but there's a spirit of Antichrist that has been greater in the last 4 years than I've ever seen it. A godless society is where Satan's trying to take it, but it's not going to happen because we are the restrainers of evil. We have Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I believe that I'm standing here in a defining moment. I believe that I'm standing here in a defining moment that I'm changing history in some of your lives because I answered the call. In a defining moment, God, I'll go for you. Send me. God, I want to be used by you. And then that road leads you. He starts taking you on a road of building you and adding to you and giving you wisdom and bringing defining moments that you'll look back later and you'll say, glory to God, that was a God moment in that service. That was a God moment when that deacon, took him down. Revelation of Deuteronomy 28 came to me through that illustration. I thought, that's what it means. He demonstrated what it means. He said, you don't have to work for it. He said, every man needs to be working. The Bible says, if a man don't work, you don't eat. And so I got more dedicated to my job than I'd ever been. State trooper pulls me over. I'm wide open, man. We're behind. And I'm breaking the law. I'm speeding. That state trooper pulls me over, and I thought, oh, man, Jack's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. I thought, Lord, I'm just trying to help the company now, Lord. I used to go to sleep under the bridge, man, stay gone all day, you know. My heart had changed. Well, that state trooper comes up there and he said, son, He said, "What's your hurry?" I said, "My company's behind and I'm trying to get them caught up, sir." He said, "They're not supposed to be speeding." I said, "Obviously. It's obvious. I got a state trooper standing here, man." But when he was coming up there, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, have mercy. I didn't need no ticket, Johnny, man. These tickets could be high, you know." I hadn't had my raise yet either, you know. So he comes up there, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "Oh, I usually don't do this." He said, "But I'm not even going to give you a warning ticket." He said, "But I need you, son, to slow it down." He said, "I know you're trying to help your company out." He said, "But you're moving too fast. You know, you got to slow down." He said, "At least when I'm around." I thought, "Oh, man, he's telling me it's okay if he's around." Well, my point in that is I was trying to be the best hand that place had for Jesus. I was doing my work as unto the Lord. I'd read it in the Bible. See, that Bible at times is going to be defining moments in your life that you embrace it. Let me give you a really, really big one, because this is a real big thing. I ought to give you a ticket. I ought to charge you if you get offended in here. As much words as I've preached here about love. I ought to start charging a $25 offense fee. I guarantee you, you'll be like, "I'm forgiven. I'm Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I forgive them." Then the third offense will be $75. Man, we'd find some forgiveness somewhere. But I'm reading my living room and I'm reading the Bible. See, a lot of times offense, it means to stumble. It means to stop going forward. We done been kicked off Instagram and ain't even got on it yet. Travis called me and he said, "Man, we got an Instagram account based on this stuff, you know." I could care less about Instagram, but hey, God's bringing people up that's got a desire to do ministry, and I'm going to back them, run with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I told Travis, he said, "We done got blocked on Instagram." I thought about it. When I first got booted off of Facebook, we got banned off of Facebook and YouTube. They throwed us off YouTube, you know, for saying what I'm saying. Y'all see anything wrong with what I'm saying? No. You know, and so I thought about it. I thought, I wonder, Jesus didn't have Facebook. Jesus didn't have YouTube. Jesus didn't have Instagram. And Jesus didn't have a microphone. Jesus, he had a voice that was full of power and the Holy Spirit, praise God. So when I first got, I almost got offended at Facebook, because I'm like, I'm trying to save lives here, y'all. You know, made me want to just get on there and cuss them out, you know. But that wouldn't be a good thing, because y'all would all see it and y'all be like, "Oh my God, pastor's getting in the flesh over there." And go over and shoot Facebook, you know. Where's the dude at? Kill him. Ban us, but let all these homosexuals and all them on there. Oh, yes, we're the culture now. Y'all got to love us and forgive us, and we're going to play baseball. These are guys, man. I'm like, come on. Y'all ought to be putting a match with some of us back before we got saved. Pull up in the parking lot and act like a woman and you a man. Well, good Lord, we'd have skinned you alive down here in Blount County, man. We lost ain't going for that. Deception, though, is different than being lost. Deception, but you know what? They want us to go along with it. We can't offend nobody. I'm not going to stand around here wondering what I'm saying is going to offend you or not. I'm not going to try to offend you, but I could say, well, it's like just like Teresa, you know, she said that you said, y'all white people, whatever you said. And she said, yeah, white people don't like heat. Man, you can go to jail for that stuff today. Just saying, y'all white people. Or, what are you calling me, a cracker? I'm a cracker. That's what color folk call white folk, a lot of them, crackers. We're crackers. Well, I'm a salty one. You heard about salt down there in Sunday school, didn't you? We're the salt of the earth, right? We're supposed to be able to take it. See, that's why we're warriors. But that's why God brings defining moments in our life, so this culture can't take us down the road of destruction. The culture can't take us with it. I'm not going with the culture. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to stay with Jesus. He redeemed me. He brought me out. He's healed me more than once. He's blessed me financially. I'm blessed going in. I say it every day. God told me the other day, he said, why do you do all that confession stuff? He said, that's not really faith, is it? I said, well, primarily, my confession is my faith. I said, it's what I've got in here. I said, primarily, I said, it's not that you can just quote scriptures and being stuff happens. I said, you get the word and get faith in your heart, then you express your faith with your mouth. You come out of your mouth with what you believe in your heart. The Bible says it, that the mouth will speak the abundance of the heart. Whatever's in the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, if it's full of unforgiveness, it's going. I've been going around all the time, Robbie. He got on my nerves. Oh, I went down there and he treated me bad at Tyson's. Now I'm his pastor. No, Rob be like, hey man, I'm innocent, man. What's going on here? I didn't do nothing. You don't have to, Rob. I'm ready to get offended. When you get tired of fighting the good fight of faith and walking in love, I'm reading my Bible. And there's some people on this planet that I hated. Hated. I know what it is to hate somebody. I know what it is to pull a shotgun with double-aught buckshot right between their eyes and tell them they got 3 seconds to shut the door or I'm going to blow them into kingdom come. Warning. I was warning them. And I get born again, and then my vengeance ain't working now. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, no. I hadn't thought about you get saved. You can't shoot them anymore. You can't go run them off the road anymore. You can't play head-on collision with them anymore. I was stupid. Drugs are stupid, and all kinds of stuff will make you stupid. Trying to kill you. Satan trying to kill me. Trying to get me to commit suicide. Well, here I am, I got born again, I'm happy now, my wife's back, man, oh yeah. And I'm reading in there, I didn't know it was in the Bible, it says, love your enemies, and I went, I shut the Bible. I said, I don't like that. I didn't sign up for that. Because now I can't hold vengeance, you know. And I told Tracy, what's wrong? I said, I don't like that. What? I said, it said, love your enemies. Love them. How you gonna love them? How you gonna love people you hate? Man, I'm like, man, I don't know how, you know. And every time I would try to pray to God, I would think about that scripture and I'd be like, devil, if you don't leave me alone with this. Look, God, I'm trying to talk to God here. It was God, Johnny. It wasn't the devil. And then I told the Lord, I said, I can't love them. I can't love them. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, my word is not to destroy you. He said, my word, if you will embrace it. I didn't know the book of James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I didn't know it said that. But God spoke to me in here. I've never heard God audibly, but I hear him just knowing. It's just a knowing that what he's saying, but in your spirit. And he said, if you've got to embrace, if you'll embrace my word, he said, my word is to set you free. So I thought, okay, all right. I said, okay, God, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to love my, I made my mind up and I went after God. I'm going to love my enemies, praise God. And he gave me just a little while and then he put me in the front of one of them. He gave me the opportunity to be a doer of the word and not a hearer. See, faith has an expression, has action. You know, just like Teresa was talking about, you know, if you're believing God for finances and believe, get in there and you know, God, you said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus, then don't get up in front of everybody. I don't make enough money at my job. I don't know how I'd ever get ahead. If my tire blew out and it ain't one thing, it's another, blah, blah, blah. Now you're coming contrary to what you're trying to believe. or you're going to forgive. And then somebody does something wrong to you. Sometimes people don't even mean to. Oh, I can't forgive this one. I can't. Now you're taking the Word of God out of your heart that you done planted in there, according to Mark 4 over there. The sower sows the Word, and these are they by the wayside tells different grounds. The cares of this world choke the Word out. The whole parable is about the Word of God. That's why I like the song that we sing. It says, Lord, your word is like, your word is like, No, that song we're singing. Yeah, your spirit's like honey on my lips. Water to my, see, that explains Psalmist over there where he says, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know what? The only way you gonna know truth as the world goes further into the will of God coming, this is the will of God coming. I mean, this thing's gonna wrap up, Jesus coming back after us. The only way you're gonna know truth is the Bible. You gotta stick with the Bible. If the Bible says you're a man, stay a man. If the Bible says you're a woman, stay a woman. You can change, but it don't change you. You can go do everything and all the surgery and all that, but you're still a man. You're still a woman. That don't change nothing. God created you that way, and you don't change it. If the Bible says that a man should not lie with a man. It's an abomination to the Lord. A woman should not lie with a woman. It's an abomination to the Lord. If it says that, then this culture ain't going to make me believe no different, and it ain't going to come into church. It's not going to happen. If the Bible says it's an abomination to God, they will never preach behind this pulpit. I don't care if I go to jail for it. They will not preach behind this pulpit. Now, I don't mean that ugly, and I wouldn't kill them and shoot them and like I used to would and all that stuff, praise God, but God will defend us. God will defend the church in the last hour. But if we bow to the music, we bow to the poverty, if you're afflicted in your body today, you need to be standing on God's word that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, you are healed. That's past tense, and it belongs to you. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. And if you're young and you ain't got no health problems, glory to God, don't start loading up thoughts that one day you're going to get older and you're going to blah, blah, blah. Now stay in line with the Word of God. Caleb was 80 years old and he told God, give me that mountain. Give me that promise you told me 45 years ago. I want it. The Bible says that Moses' eyesight wasn't dim. You got Samson went and toted the gates of the city under the anointing. See, we are the anointed of God. And things, sickness and disease and oppression and poverty, that's alien to us. Should be alien to us. It should not be a part of our life, praise God. Not to say that we won't ever have any financial troubles and have, you know, sometimes God asked you to give it all. And, you know, God asked you to buy somebody a car. God asked you to give somebody a house or whatever. Praise God. Don't mean that none of that won't ever happen. Financial challenges will come. You'll be challenged in your finance. You'll be challenged in your homework at school. I'm glad that God teaches His people, you know, that we're not to judge ourselves among ourselves. I don't need people. I don't have to have a clique of preachers to fit in. I fit in with Jesus. You don't have to have. Don't get in the cliques at school. Praise God. Be a Christian. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Talk about God. Hallelujah. They kick you out of school, send you to detention, we'll pay you fines and we'll come get you. We'll pray you out too. Now if you're doing wrong in school, we'll leave you in there. If you're doing wrong, you get in jail, we ain't coming to get you. We're gonna pray that God helps you to learn something through it. God told me one time, he said, buddy, if I ever go to jail for Jesus, I'm going to call Brother Scotty. He'll come get me. I said, yeah, man, I'll come get you. You go to jail for Jesus, I'll be right on down there. We'll get you right on out of there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? God will supply what I need. Hallelujah. Doing the food thing out there, and people lined up all the way down and got the law's attention. They're getting out in the main highway. That's why we had to start early. all pulls up, and I thought, oh, my God, man. I thought, this is, so I looked over, we was fixing to start, and I looked over the guy going here, and I said, hey, I ain't got time for this. I got to go in here and pray for these people in here. I said, go out there and see what the law man needs. He looked at me and, me? I said, yeah, go on. If you go to jail, we'll get you out after a while, man. We'll have these people's gone. Seeing them out there in the fire, man. And I told him later on, I said, what, was you scared? Or was you scared? Well, I did get a little nervous. I said, well, I've been preaching to you for 5 years in the church. You know, the righteous are bold. They're bold as a lion. They're not mean as snakes, but they're bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold. Somebody say bold. The psalmist David, he said, I've been young and now I'm old. He said, and I have not seen the righteous cast down, forsaken, or begging bread. He'd never seen the righteous forsaken by God. He had seen God come through for the righteous every time. And it give him confidence up here. He said, now I'm old and I've never seen it. He's telling them, he's telling me, you ain't got to be concerned. See, I'm not going to get weaker when I get older. I'm going to get stronger. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, see, the word is defining moments that God will bring to your ear or to your attention for you to lay hold of and embrace, that it'll bring forth the fruit that's in the word. It'll bring forth fruit. Bible says it in the parable, don't it? These are the ones that fell on good ground, talking about the word. They took it and did something with it. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says the strong spirit of a man. You keep yourself strong spiritually. That's what he's saying. Two meals a week's not enough to hear sermons. Two meals a week's not enough. If you take it in the natural, I eat a lot more than two meals a week. You know, when I don't, I get weak. Well, two sermons a week's not enough for you. You need to spend some time with the Lord. Hook up with good ministries. I go home after church and I listen to 5 sermons. All these churches that I like on Facebook. I take advantage of Facebook, man. You know, I listen to this one and one down at Cleveland down there. And there's one I listen a little bit and I'll cut it off. I can't listen to that one. I got a little unbelief going on in there. I got a little bit of whining going on in there. Hallelujah. But you know what? Hook yourself up, listen to sermons. Y'all teenagers, get off of YouTube. Get off of there 8 hours with your friends in the evenings texting, your girlfriends. Working a teenager and they took his phone away and worked him a little bit yesterday. And he's about 16, 17. And they took his phone away. I don't know what he's doing, but permanently. They cut it off. I said, what? They cut the phone slap off? I said, man, that's a little bit deeper than punishment, ain't it? He said, well, I thought it was, but hey, it is what it is. Like that. And I said, well, you know, I said, the thing about it is, I said, if you had your driver's license and a car and a job, you don't need a cell phone. You can go see her. I mean, you're 17. Look, I'm trying to go over there. I would nearly break in the courthouse to get my permit at 15. I'm ready to drive, baby. I'm ready to get me a car. I'm ready to go. I'm going to see Teresa. I'd steal my daddy's truck to do that. So I told him, I said, that's a good reason why you need to get a good job. School's nearly out. Get you a job. Get your driver's license. Yeah, well, Mommy, you're 17. Come on. I mean, we done got you out of the diaper twice. I mean, we done brought you off the bottle. Now you're Mommy at 17? Are you serious? Go mow yards. Dude, I was pushing lawnmowers at 10, stealing gas out of their cars to mow it. I didn't have no gas money, so I'd slip around and steal some gas. I'd ask them, man, y'all got any gas in the shed? I mean, I'm fixing to make $3, Johnny, $3. I mean, I'm out trying to do something to make some money. Daddy and them, ain't they done with us? I mean, after 17 kids, I'm sure they're done. They done got down to me. I'm sure they're just about done. They's three younger than me. So I'm sure they're up bearing out on kids. But here God steps in. See, God stepped into my life. God is stepping into your life today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, this is a defining moment in your future. I'm telling you, if you make Jesus Christ your Lord today and you really mean it and you go after Him, it'll be the best day of the rest of your life. I mean, He'll take your life and He'll do something that you never dreamed possible. So if you're here today, young or old, and you don't know Jesus Christ, praise God. I'm going to count to three and you just stand up. You don't even have to go nowhere. We're going to pray right where you're at. Because if you are lost without God and this meant something to you and God's dealing with your heart, this is a defining moment for your future, praise God. Father, I just praise you. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you right now. And I thank you for everyone here on the sound of my voice, Lord. All over the world, wherever we're reaching, Father. And I thank you for your great love that you have towards us. Lord, if there's anybody in this house right now that's not born again, I thank you, Father God, for that opportunity that you've given them to come into your kingdom and to live for you and serve you. If you're here, you say, that's me. Praise God. On the count of three, stand up. One, two, three. Anybody, stand up. Backslid, you ain't never been saved. Stand up. Praise God. We're just going to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Anybody need prayer before we close out the service? If you're not right with the Lord and you didn't respond, lay on your bed. You don't have to do it in church. You can do it anywhere. You just lay on your bed and you tell God, and that'll be a defining moment. You can receive Jesus anywhere you're at, praise God. All right, does anybody need prayer this morning before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.